our pleasure to welcome back to the show. Kicking off a new month, JT Miller, leading scorer with the Vancouver Canucks, joining us here on the 1st of April. JT, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
No problem, guys. Yeah, I'm as good as I'll ever be, you know, just enjoying the quarantine life right now.
You driving your wife nuts yet?
It depends who you're asking, but yes.
I'm sure you are. Hey, you like me, you have two young daughters, so I know what it's like being at home right now, being around them a lot. Walk me through a typical day right now for JT Miller, the dad.
It's nonstop. I have my oldest will be two in a couple of weeks, and I got almost an 11-month-old. So I get up, I'm trying to get my workout in at 6:30 in the morning because I don't really have any breaks until bedtime in a nutshell. You know, it's pretty crazy getting them up around 7:30, and then, it's off to the races from there with breakfast and lunch, and they got a couple naps, but their nap schedules are different, so there's pretty much somebody awake at all times, and it's just like a race to dinner every single night. You get a little time outside if it's nice in the driveway, and a little dinner, and then, time for mom and dad to have a glass of wine before bed.
The grind of the NHL season seems pretty easy compared to this, doesn't it?
Oh, this is way harder.
It's so true. I agree with you 100%. You said you're working out every morning 6:30. How are you finding a way to keep yourself in shape? I know you're a pretty big fitness guy.
Just doing the workouts. I got some, the strength and conditioning coaches have been great with keeping in touch with us and setting up workouts on an app for us to do, and brought over some weights, dumbbells and a bench and some bands and foam roller, just enough that you can actually do a lot with dumbbells. So trying to keep up on the workouts. We have a Peloton at the house, so I've been riding those every morning and trying to find a way to stay motivated, like you said.
I don't think that's an issue for you. JT Miller joining me here this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show. You're an American player, your family, a lot of them still in the States. What's it been like trying to follow their situation from the other side of the continent for you?
This whole situation's been pretty surreal. It's just a weird time. Thankfully my family's been safe. Everybody's doing their part by quarantining and just kind of hanging out. I've done some phone calls and on Zoom with, family members a lot. Just kind of keeping in touch. Everybody's got downtime right now, so just trying to stay in touch with the family. We found that, the safest place for our little girls and, is to stay in Vancouver as of now. We know the East Coast and the east side of the United States obviously has a lot more traction with the coronavirus right now. So we're just trying to hang out, be safe, do our part. And, I think this will all blow over before we know it. But, it's a crazy thing that, to be – kind of locked up in the house for this amount of time.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's so much different than the end of a season normally would be, because you guys are in limbo right now. You are hopeful that there's going to be some more hockey, but you don't know there's going to be more hockey. So you can't just put your feet up like you would at the end of a regular season. What do you do to try to feel normal as a hockey player in this time, in addition to the workouts?
It's not much, really. You just try to... to feel normal, I guess you would just maintain your workouts, try not to make sure you're eating the right food. The good thing is when, me having these little girls, the days go quick. You're always on the move. The challenging part being that they can't really form sentences yet, so you find yourself sometimes talking to the wall, but it's an exciting time. I think that it might be something that I take for granted when I look back at this whole quarantine, whether it's months or years down the road, but I don't want to take for granted all this family time that I'm getting, because it's really nice. We have a lot of guests normally. We're passing the kids off to the grandparents a lot when we're in the summertime. This time really is, it might be exhausting, but I think it's something I'm going to cherish a lot is, being able to, teach my two-year-old a lot of things right now. She's like a sponge, and, when I'm on the road or back home and we got a lot of stuff going on in the summertime, you don't really get even this good of a quality family time. So even though it might, you might pull your hair out because of it, it's a pretty special time for the family, and especially such important years of their lives.
Yeah, I completely agree. That resonates with me. I've got a 6-year-old and 3-year-old daughter as well, so I completely understand what you're talking about.
Right.
As far as the season goes, JT, when you look back on the highs and the lows during this pause, What have you taken the time to reflect on with regards to your first almost full season in Vancouver?
How fast it went, probably. And I think of how, and I don't want to say surprised because I didn't think we were going to have a good team, but I think I didn't realize how good our team was. You know, the standings, you know, are so tight. You know, we could be in first place and after two games and, you know, lose a game and be in, on the outside looking in. It's, I think that's the frustrating part is we did so many good things. We're coming together as a team. We're showing what our team's made of. We're creating an identity. And then for the season to be shut down the way it has been, you know, right when it was starting to get really good and fun, you know, that's the frustrating part is you do all that work through training camp. You go through the grind of the season, you get past the All-Star break and, you know, you have 25, 30 games left and you get into the final 10 or 15. And, you know, for that to happen, it's, you know, that's the crappy part, but you know, it's been a fun year. I mean, it's learning a lot about our team. It's a lot different team, lots of new faces and, you know, it's a shame that whatever happens, I don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, no one does, but it's a shame that it had to be, you know, at least paused the way it was because, you know, the last 10, 15 games and then the playoffs is the most, you know, it's the greatest time of the year. It's what you play for and everything you work towards in the summer training and throughout the season. So it's that part's definitely frustrating.
It's a really good point you make about not really knowing because you, I'm sure, talked to other players and you had conversation with Travis Green, but anytime you step into a new situation, there are going to be things you didn't account for and things you learn along the way. What was the most pleasant surprise, whether it was from a player or a coach, that you didn't know coming in, but now you're pretty thankful you've learned?
Well, I'm pretty thankful for the opportunity. You know, this is, the opportunity I've been given here is something that I've wanted, you know, your whole career. I do understand that it takes time to, you know, to develop into yourself as a player. You know, I've been playing all year with PD for the most part. And, you know, the opportunity to play on with the man advantage and on the penalty kill and, you know, with the goalie pulled and, you know, 20 minutes a game. I mean, that's a really big responsibility. And I take a lot of pride in that. And I think that that's something that I've worked for my whole career. And like I said, opportunities, you know, it's everything. So I think it's a pleasant surprise. You know, I'm very happy with where I'm at. And, you know, I'm trying to lead by example. And like I said, we have such a good team. I think that we're just trying to hit our stride at the right time coming into the playoffs. And, you know, it's a shame it had to be paused.
I want to hit on 2 points of that answer you just gave. You mentioned the word pride. To this point of your career as a Canuck, what are you most proud of?
Just from like this last season standpoint.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that I try my hardest to, you're not going to have it for 82 games. It's just the way it is, but to bring, you know, I've said this in interviews before, you know, try not to bring your C game, bring your B minus game. And I think that I've tried my best to realize that, you know, it's hockey players are stubborn and we all think that we're going to be able to fix it and right the ship during every game. But I think realizing when you like, man, it's just not my night, you know, don't make it a bad game. Just make it, just get through the game. You know, we play again in a day or two. And I think that I'm proud of the way that, you know, even when I have not brought it for a couple games in a row, I mean, that happens, but I didn't make it a bad game. You know, I think I tried to make it, you know, just got to get through this game. And I think that that's something that, you know, coaches have told me when I was younger and I tried to take that with me. And I think that that's important for young players is it's easy to get down and, you know, make one bad game and all of a sudden you're 6th bad game in a row. I think that when you learn that, you know, you just kind of get through it and sometimes it's, you don't feel that fast out there or you don't feel that smooth with the puck. You need to realize that, you know, you just got to do what you can to help and don't get in the team's way. And I think that that's something that I've learned this year and probably done the best at that I have in my career.
In conversation with JT Miller this morning on Sportsnet 650, you come to a new situation and you want to establish yourself as a leader, but you also have to fit in with a brand new group. How did you strike a balance between those two, JT, wanting to fit in and wanting to establish a leadership role?
That's definitely something because they have good, great leadership here. Guys that have been here a long time, guys that have, you know, like Beagle that's won a Stanley Cup and as an older player, and it's, I think bringing my game to the table and playing the right way and playing my game is the best way to lead is by example. And I think that I'm a really talkative guy. So I think that just, you know, naturally, I think my game fit in well with, you know, some of the leadership that they have here. We have leaders in the team that, you know, are not necessarily talkative guys, but they lead by example. And I think that speaks, volumes to how we need to play. And at the end of the day, that's how you want everybody playing, you know, the right way and the same way and buying into the game plan. And, you know, it's definitely something I'm learning still in my career is, you know, when to lead and when to just play and when to be, you know, communicating with your teammates. And it's something I've also taken a lot of pride in this year is trying to be a better leader. And, you know, it's something I'm just going to keep learning on, and I'll hopefully take to another level, you know, if we resume or when we resume or next year or whenever it may be.
Well, and you know this as well as I do. You can't just step into a new organization, a new place of work, and just start yelling and screaming at guys and command attention right away. At what point did you feel comfortable enough to start talking in that manner?
You know, I don't know exactly when, but I do feel like, you know, I have a high standard for my game. I want to all my teammates to feel the same way. And I think that it's a good standard to have, is that when you expect a lot out of yourself, I think you bring a little more jump, a little more fire in your game. And I think that's a good quality to have. So, I mean, I'm trying to get that message through to my, especially the younger guys. I mean, I think that when you could put your personal stuff aside and, you know, play hard for the benefit of the team, it might sound a little cliche, but when you buy into that, you become a better player all around. And I think that's something that I've also learned. And I don't remember an exact moment where, you know, that clicked in, but I think, you know, fairly early, I tried to make it evident that, you know, we need to have a high standard for each other and hold each other accountable. So I think that's obviously when you're younger, you don't want to hear that, you know, as much as, you know, you don't want somebody barking at you all the time. So I think I try to, you know, pick my spots. And I think that at the same time, there's times where I got to worry about my own game, but you know, there's a lot that comes with, you know, trying to be a leader, and I'm learning that.
As you and I talked about the last time we had a conversation, you established a good rapport with Jake Virtanen, and you sort of saw a bit of yourself in him early, and that's part of the reason that you fostered that relationship. How much have you been in contact with him during the pause to make sure that that relationship stays intact?
You know, everybody's kind of, you know, talking a little bit here and there, and we have a lot of group chats going, but we've talked a couple times, just checked in to see, and we were just talking about each other's workouts and what we were doing and, you know, stuff like that. I'm just trying to, plenty of downtime. So you're trying to keep in touch with as most guys as you can.
What growth did you see in Jake's game this year?
I think what I touched on about, you know, sometimes when you're younger, you know, you feel like it's the end of the world when you play a bad game. But I think that as the season went on, like, if you're not bringing your game, I noticed like some nights you just kind of played hard. And, you know, I think that that's what you need to do, is when you're not feeling it and everybody wants to, you know, score goals and get points. And I know when you're younger and you're not playing as many minutes, that that's harder to do. So, I mean, if you're out there trying to get points in unlimited role, you're probably not going to bring the most out of yourself. So I think that, you know, he just kind of was buying into where the team saw him. And, you know, it's good to see, because he's such a good player and he's a big part of our team.
You and Travis Green seem to establish a really good relationship as well. What did you appreciate about him?
Well, he's, you know, he communicates a lot, I think, well with the players. And I think that, you know, he allows the players to, you know, speak their opinion. He wants to know what we're thinking. You know, he played a long time in the NHL. He understands how, you know, how to see it as a player and a coach from the bench. And there's a difference of seeing it on the bench and on the ice, and obviously him playing for so long in the league. I'm understanding that's important, and I think he has a high respect level of the players, and obviously I'm appreciative of the, you know, the opportunities he's given me. You know, we talked about that in the summer. I tried to, you know, work my butt off in the summer and have my best year and best camp, and you know, I think that for the most part that was probably my best camp that I've come in shape in, and you know, this opportunity is everything to me, and it's you know, I want to take full advantage of it, and I think I've for the most part, you know, been given that opportunity to play with some really high-end players, like I touched on. It's, you know, things kind of came together a little bit.
As you are well aware, there are no pro sports for us to break down and analyze and take storylines from on a day-to-day basis right now. So we're finding different things to talk about. And one of the things we're giving our listeners a chance to highlight today, because a lot of them played sports at some point, is a coach who had a positive impact on them during their lives and has given them something that they've carried with them through their lives that has helped them in some positive manner, whether it was at pro hockey or minor hockey, wherever it was along the way. JT, who's a coach that stands out to you that taught you a life lesson early and has had a positive impact on your life?
I'd say for sure my head coach, Ron Rolston, at the national team in juniors. You know, he had a high standard, and we preached that all the time. And he, held me accountable and taught me how to be a coachable player, and professionalism on and off the ice was a big thing with him. And I mean, he sat me out games on a team when we didn't have extra players to play. I mean, it was hard. You know, you kind of quit being a punk when you're a kid and learn that, you know, you need to play like this if you want to play in the NHL, and you want to be like this person off the ice if you want to be, you know, a complete player. And I think that he set those lessons straight when I was the age of 16 to 18. I had him for 2 years, and, you know, he's a big part of my life and the player, you know, I tried to become today.
One last thing before I let you go. You said he taught me what it means to be a coachable player. What does that mean, to be a coachable player?
Well, it's some. I think every player is, I mean, myself especially, you still try to work at that because you're in the heat of the moment, you're in the game, and, you know, you kind of can have your guard up all the time and not be responsive to criticism, and not, you don't want to hear, hey, you know, you need to make that play, and you need, like, maybe you aren't being as accountable as you need to be. You need to be able to take info that the coach gives you and use it. You're not right all the time. Something that I try to work on all the time too. And it's hard when you're in the middle of the battle. You know, your blood pressure is high, and, you know, you want to break a stick sometimes, but you have to be able to listen. And I think that's something that, you know, is a good quality in players, and players that do have that, you got to be a sponge around them, because it's a contagious attribute to have.
Good quality to have as a husband and a father as well, as I'm sure you know. Hey, JT, I've really appreciated you taking the time here. Thank you very much for doing this. Continue with the good dad life, my friend, and stay healthy.
Will do. You too. Thank you.